call the work session order. Our engineer isn't here right just yet. He's in the building, but so we'll talk about the. We'll start with the club when we talk about that.
Okay, so I asked to put this on the work session agenda for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to find a way for those folks that are interested on the town board and Jack Corey, who's chair of planning and responsible for the draft that we have in front of us, so we can get together and discuss it. I don't think we have enough time at a work session or a town board session to do that, or at least don't want to be constrained by the fact that we have other business to do during a town board meeting. And so I'm throwing it out there that I sure as heck would like to meet. Let's pick some special time, sometime during the week. It could be a weekday or a week during the day or in the evening. Pete's off from school pretty soon. So that's
Friday.
So I thought we should do that. Because I have several pages of things that nothing major, but I think we should talk about. We have to vote on this thing. This is a major policy for the town.
I mean, the three of us are okay. What about you guys?
Yep, what time?
Well, I'm throwing it out to one of you guys throw out what would work for you, because I can come anytime. I could be at a meeting morning, noon, or night, because I'm retired. And I think we should just set aside several hours and do it in one session.
Yeah, Friday afternoons work for me, past noon. I don't work on Friday afternoons.
Okay, Friday afternoons. Kev, works for you?
Monday and Tuesday, I'm free after 3 o'clock. But the rest of the week, I wouldn't be able to get here until 5.
Even on Friday? Least,
yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 5 o'clock to be here.
Can you be around at 3 o'clock anytime, Kev, or no?
Anytime on Fridays. On Friday I could, but Rick during the regular.
He's a Monday.
I mean, if you guys set a date, I'll make it work.
I would have to look at my calendar and try to finagle stuff. Yeah.
But if earlier in the day works, you know, for you guys on Friday, I'll make sure I'm available.
And that works for you too, Jack. A 3 o'clock time frame on a.
Any day but Thursday would work.
Any day but Thursday. So it sounds like we're hovering around Friday.
Yeah.
Friday.
I know.
Which is the worst day of the week.
I mean, if it's raining, then good.
To have a meeting. All right,
you guys pick
o'clock.
The time.
Well, I mean, you know, if not, like an evening would work fine. I know we don't have a board meeting for the next month.
Right.
You know, so.
So that's.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have a board meeting in a month. We can have one at 5.
We could.
Now, Tony, since we closed this, if we don't act on it, does it automatically pass after 60 to 90, 120 days?
We still have to pass it.
Okay.
Okay, so pick your day then. After 5 works for you.
Yeah.
Friday stinks.
No, I don't want to do a Friday after 5, no.
Okay, so how about the week of the 26th, or the 27th? Of June, or do we want to push it off?
Do the 27th of June at 5 o'clock. Does that work, Kevin?
What day is that falling?
Yeah. It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then this is a public meeting, so, right, we can't not have it as a public meeting, right, Tony? I mean, I couldn't care less whether it is or not, but
yeah,
I think it is.
We have to advertise it.
So that we have enough time to do that, right?
We'll have to advertise it.
Okay,
so
6:27.
We just got to figure out, is there a court that night? There is
on Tuesdays there are.
Well, I think we should meet in the conference room anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, at 5 p.m.
Beautiful.
5 o'clock.
What day was it?
6:27. That'd be great. That's all I had.
All right, I'm good with that.
Okay. Let me just put it down here. I got a meeting with Onondaga County, but on the business development development advisory committee. It says it goes to 5. I don't think it does, so I should be here.
All right. So 5 p.m.
Yeah.
All right. That's good for you, Jack?
It works.
All right.
Okay. We'll go back to the Radisson Drainage District's improvements.
Two projects that I'd like to get done. Well, one project I'd like to get done, one project the board needs to consider that's been asked about several times. I'm not not necessarily supportive of. The first one is the Valley View Corp, Radburn Drive one. So that system is relatively old. It has been compromised by tree roots. It is not draining properly. There's a stretch of almost 400 feet, and there's only two inlets on it. It's just not taking water. It needs to be replaced. That one is one that is a maintenance issue that's got to happen. And that should be the first one, the first estimate there, which is $36,794.
Where is that?
Valley View Circle, Radburn Drive. So off of Glacier Ridge. So if you're going west on Glacier Ridge.
So it's a Radisson Drainage District?
Yeah, it's a Radisson Drainage District one. But it's a maintenance project more than a new drainage project. It's all maintenance. It's not new drainage. We'll add some yard drains in just so that we got additional spots where we can tie sump pumps and stuff in, but it's not new drainage infrastructure. There's an existing easement. The next page is Moonraker Court and Spree Glade. Bob's been out there and looked at this one. I've been looking at this one for 8 or 9 years.
And we went there, and they said there's all kinds of water. That was the picture today, if you look at it.
We've had
water for
3 days. This week we've had over 2 inches of rain.
Yeah.
What I think it is in the spring and fall when we have a high groundwater table,
yeah,
there's a tendency for water to want to pond in that spot. It's off the backyard, the guy at the corner of the backyard. Okay, the homeowner on the corner of a Spree and Collier, or what's that?
I can't remember what it was.
He's on the corner of a Spree there, and it's... It's one of those spots that could be fixed if we got a grading plan with every house permit that came in. This type of thing wouldn't happen.
That's not going to happen now. So.
It's not going to take care of this. But
Spree Bob, Vermilion.
There you go. Not Collier. I've been looking at it for several years. Yes, there's times when there's some standing water there, but once it's dry for 2 or 3 days. I've never seen water actually standing back there for more than 48 hours. It just, the soil takes it. Does it pond? Yes. Does the pond go away relatively quickly? Yes. I mean, the homeowners they've said they'll give easements. It really only improves one homeowner's property, quite honestly. I don't know. It's a tough one for me to say that it's worth what the expense of it is.
Because we're looking at almost,
it's almost
40
grand by the time because you got to take four easements. You're working in the woods, so you got a bunch of trees that you got to take down. You got it's a difficult spot to get stone into to bed the pipe. It's a difficult spot to work. I don't know. I'm bringing it to you. Bob went out and looked at it and said that we should at least discuss it at the board meeting. So, this is our...
Well, I told him I'd discuss it, but I mean, that's why I wanted to take a look at it. I mean, this is after we've had, 3-4 days of rain every day, and there's nothing there.
This is today.
This is today.
This was at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it really, hasn't been even 24 hours total since it stopped.
Right. And we had some fairly heavy rain. And
consistently rained all day.
Yeah.
It's just one of those spots when there's high groundwater table, the soil doesn't take it as fast, so the water will pond. In those spring and fall periods, and we all know what Radisson's like. In the spring and fall, groundwater table comes up.
Yeah, throughout every house is like that.
Yeah, some pumps work overtime, and it is what it is. I mean, and it's really not taken up from a square footage. Take the ponded area is maybe really about 400 square feet.
It's not big.
It's less than 400 square feet when it does have standing water.
So this, who owns this property?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that question.
Do we own this property?
No, it's private property.
It's
right at the corner of three lots.
Two lots.
So three
homeowners own this.
No, only one, it's only the ponding only occurs on one homeowner's property. It might go into the guy on Moore Acres Court by a foot or two.
But the water's not doing any damage or anything?
No. Just an annoyance thing, I think, more than anything. Would you agree, Bob?
Yes. And after looking at this, because, I mean, I listened to him, and when we were there, there was no water.
Yeah.
There was no water then. And I'm listening to him, and I said, okay, we'll consider it, you know, but I wanted to see what it looked like today after we had rain. And the ground's hard, so it should have been there. It's not going to soak in that much, and it's gone.
Well,
it's already gone.
You know, they say, oh, the mosquitoes are horrible. Well,
yeah.
It's because there's a big wetland behind it.
Right, but it's
a floodplain area.
It's woody.
It's a wooded area. It's a forested wetland. I mean, it's...
Well, you can, you know what? You can fix the pond behind my house every time it rains, too.
I'm just
my yard gets a little wet.
And what about the first one?
The first one is a maintenance project. It's the pipe that's there is completely clogged with tree roots. It's compromised. It's not taking water like
and
it
I,
should.
Can I presume that the money's in the...
We do have money in the drainage district for that one. We have enough money in the drainage district for both of them.
It's a reach to say
that Moon Raker Court is a...
Yeah, I went through the second one.
...is a necessity.
Okay.
That's my feeling.
I've been out there. You know, I've known people that have lived there, Moon Raker Court. It has been an issue when we have, you know, month of rain, and you know that carries into the spring and early summer when you get mosquitoes. But when Al and I were talking about this, one of the things that I think plays back into this is, you know, grading plans with approvals of, you know,
building permits. Yeah,
and that's something I think we really need to start addressing as a board and get it into our code, because this probably would have been alleviated by grading the other properties, so when this driveway went across, it doesn't create a pond. You know, it's a driveway for one house that holds up the water from getting into the rest of the drainage area that is a wetland.
I mean, so this is for background. I don't know if you guys remember the flood hazard area that we did the study on in 2016. This is backs up to that. Flood hazard.
The big ditch on Deep Glade.
Yeah.
That goes across.
So this backs up to that. So everybody kind of understands where we're at. I mean, it's reach. That's all I can say. Is it an inconvenience? Yes. Is it making anybody's sump pump run anymore? Is it flooding anybody's basement? Is it ever going to flood anybody's basement? No.
Is it a town issue? Or is this a private homeowner's issue?
I personally think that it could be a private homeowner issue very easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all good. I mean, that's mine. I mean, does it affect more than one property? Yes. Does it significantly affect any of the properties? Not my opinion. I mean, if it was right up next to a building foundation or something, yeah. But
it's not even close.
Not even close. I mean, it's... The house on Moon Raker Court is the closest house, and it's got to be 45, 50 feet away.
They were talking about it like it was, you know, a catastrophe, and it really wasn't. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement with that one.
Okay. So I do think we would need a resolution to do the Radburn Drive Valley View Circle one, authorizing the expenditure for that.
Should we do that tonight? Can we just add it to the...
I'd like to, because we don't have another meeting until the end of July.
You can add it, because we have it on the agenda.
So let's do it.
You want to write it up?
Yeah, I'll write it up. That plays into my next topic, which is consolidating the funding application. I forwarded you guys all the opportunities for funding that are out there. Applications, if there's something you do want to apply for, applications are due July 28th. So it's one of those things that, because we don't have that meeting, the first meeting in July, if you want me to do something or get started on something, we kind of got to make a decision sooner rather than later. There's trail grants, there's tree grants, there's all sorts of stuff in that packet that I sent you. There's water quality improvement grants, but they all take time to prepare. So we kind of
So when would we have to make a decision by in order for you to get them in?
I mean, if you give me a verbal approval, I can get something. I would say by the second week in July.
Okay.
Just because it's you can put a resolution on the agenda for the next.
Well, we're gonna
meeting,
well we're gonna meet weeks. We're gonna meet on the club and
okay.
On the
yeah, just review what the funding that's there. There's lots of opportunities. Yeah. There's stuff we can apply for. I just need to know what you want. If you want to apply for anything.
That'll give us 2 weeks to look it over, and then we can discuss it then, if that's all right with everybody. Yeah. Yes?
We're not,
yeah.
Meeting, we're not meeting on the 6th, correct?
We're not meeting on the 6th, no.
The 25th, I think?
The 20th.
27th.
No, 20th.
Sorry.
It's the first.
Oh, for the regular board meeting.
July.
We're talking about when we're going to meet again.
Oh,
that's
yeah, 27th, we're gonna meet for the club, and then the next board meeting will be on the 20th.
Yeah, because on the 20th, that only gives me 8 days. 8 days is...
Yeah.
Is
well, we'll come up. We'll talk about it and,
okay.
On the 20th, so... All right, that's that. Cell phone. We don't have the highway superintendent here, but...
No. What Kenneth asked me about was he would like to have a separate phone for people to contact. So then he could hand it off to the night watchman or whoever's on duty if he's on vacation to have, you know, for always have a point of contact with the highway. So I, you know, I just brought it up. Ken said he was going to be here, but.
Well, he's got money in his budget if that's what he wants to do.
I mean, he just wanted to make sure.
He's got money.
I personally think it's a decent idea.
He's got money in his budget. If he wants to do it, just, you know.
Does that fall under his budget, or is that more of a...
No, that's his.
Town-wide,
that's
like,
his.
Building type?
That's his.
It's his.
So he just wants a highway...
Cell phone.
Yeah, that point of contact would be listed with the count, you know, in case they need to call, there's a tree down or something happened. They call that cell phone. Whoever's on duty will have that phone.
That's a good idea.
You know, rather than having to go to his phone and... He's not here.
Or go to the office.
Or go to the office, right.
And then to his phone.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, it's his
do we
budget.
Have, no, my next
We don't question. Have to do it. He's got money in his budget. He's
okay.
Got money.
Well, do we have
Jennifer, where would he take that from? Hey, could you keep the conversation down, please? Equipment.
He has a cell phone line that has like 2,500 in it.
There
is
you
that
go.
For the reimbursement for the highway?
It's in the highway fund.
Okay.
It is in the removal program, so I don't know that that's where it should live. So I can look into it and then if we need to do any budget modifications, but it is specific to be person cell phones.
Yeah, I think that was to call the MEOs when they were
So if he went out right now and got one, there's enough money in there now, and if he needed more, if we needed to replenish it, we could move it. We could do a budget.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to cost.
No, it's
a lot of money. The cell phone itself would probably be free.
It's like $40 a month or something. Yeah.
$35, $40.
Yeah. So you're talking
okay.
$500.
So we have a cell plan through Verizon or whoever. Okay. So you can get with you to talk about getting the phone.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else with that? Mr. Birch, so you got want to talk about cemeteries? You don't have to come up. You can unless you want to. You can.
I'm used.
You don't
to
have
to.
I
mean, I'm used to it.
I'm giving you the option.
So
I
our government is of the people, by the
people.
Oh, okay.
Can you consolidate it, though? I mean,
right. So that broad headline.
Right, we're going way back to 1700s.
Exactly. So. And yeah. I plan on quoting Thomas Jefferson here, but you guys are, in that capacity, you guys are busy. All town officials are busy in that capacity representing the people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't always have the time to research. That's why we have subordinates and co-workers and stuff to help us do that stuff. A lot of times people have a passion or a reason for learning more and following the pathway to find out more information. And with my situation, it wasn't my goal 15 years or so ago, but somehow I found that path. And for my specific reason, and along that pathway, I've learned a lot about the various cemeteries that we have in this town. And as a matter of fact, I have numerous documents, and they're historical documents. These aren't handwritten stuff. This is all stuff from 1800s and things of that nature. In our town, the first cemetery was called the Academy Cemetery, and it actually was in the old infield where St. Mary's School is. It's now a parking lot. Used to be a grass infield and a playfield, and that was our town's first burial site. It was called the Academy Lot. It's been, in the historical records, referred to as obliterated, which means the people were exhumed and the stones were, got new stones and they were placed someplace else. That it didn't just go over the top of them. In our town, you know, we have cemeteries that people all know about, Plainville, Lysander, Jacksonville. There's a hidden one, Myrtle Grove. It's on our agenda tonight. And numerous other small rural cemeteries. Most of the cemeteries in our town are referred to as incorporated, which means that, we have a relative passes away and they have enough monies to have a full burial or whatever, they can contact that cemetery and pay for a plot and have a burial there. They didn't have to be a member of that cemetery, or they didn't have to be a member of a religious group or anything like that, or have a certain last name or whatever. Just need enough money and they could be buried there. That's called incorporated. In our town, we have cemeteries like that. They're Lysander, Rural Cemetery, Plainville, Jacksonville, even Myrtle Grove. And what happens is at some point in time, somebody had a plot of land and said, hey, let's go into the cemetery business. We could charge a certain amount for a lot, and we could bury people, and this is what our maintenance costs, and we could probably make a little money at this, and we need a place to bury people. And that's how most incorporated cemeteries got their start. When a cemetery like that goes belly up, meaning they run out of room to bury people, or it becomes too expensive to maintain the property versus what they bring in, usually what happens is they go abandoned or they stop doing business. And in those cases, New York State and other states, after a certain period, this happened in the 1940s, where they said, you know what, these things are kind of like an eyesore here. Let's have a mandate for the towns to do a minimum maintenance on these properties when they've abandoned. They have to be abandoned in the way it's written into the cemetery law for New York State, is 17 years. So there's a cemetery, let's just say, for example, Plainville, or let's say Church Road Cemetery, we'll just make something up. And they go out of business, it's 17 years, anybody could have been buried there. It now becomes the town's responsibility to maintain that cemetery. The town doesn't own it.
can't go in there and mow it or, you know, bulldoze it over and build on it. But it has a mandate from the state to maintain it. And the minimum maintain is 3 times per year that it has to mow it.
And we do more than that.
Okay, absolutely. Now, New York State Cemetery Law, which is called 291, was created in 1949. And I have a copy of it with me. It's easy to get access on the computer. I'll give a copy to the clerk if she wants. I'm going to make access to the copies of all the documents I got after tonight for the clerk who requested them. But anyways, 291 is a mandate from the state that when cemeteries go abandoned after 17 years, the town must maintain them. And these are the cemeteries that the town must maintain. And there are a list of them. And they had to be incorporated. They cannot be private or religious in nature. One, because religious cemeteries, you had to be a member of the church to be buried in that cemetery. A private cemetery, like my relatives have on their lot on Rabbit Lane, I mean, you had to be a member of the family to be put there, okay? So the taxpayers aren't going to be responsible for a family or a religious lot. Now, through 15 years of doing research, how I got my start was, those accusations in 2008 in the paper about me not listing my name, but listing my address and things of that nature, and false accusations. But I had a friend who had worked in the town, who had just stopped working in the town, and she was the former clerk, Gail Grice. And she called me and she said, Fred, in my capacity as the clerk, I saw some documents in our archives that would back up the story that you're saying on your side about the issue that you had at the cemetery next to your house. And I said, oh, really? And I finally found somebody who worked at the town to give me access to that and printed them out. I have copies of them. They're there for you guys to see. But in those documents, how I got my start, they led me to another document, another document, another document. In my hands, I have the New York State classification of every single cemetery in New York State, every single cemetery in Onondaga County, every single cemetery in the town of Lysander. I also have the Onondaga County historical record for that same thing, and I have the local, what's called, historian record for that same thing.
So what are you looking, looking for?
The point I'm trying to make is every cemetery in our town is categorized by the state, the county, and the local historians. The cemetery that butts up next to my property in all three historical documents that go back to the 1800s and 1920s, these weren't written in the 1970s or whatever, categorize the cemetery next to my house as a religious cemetery.
Okay.
Versus all the other cemeteries,
okay,
which are listed as private or incorporated.
So we wouldn't be responsible for that.
Well, that is my contention for the last 15 years. But I'm also holding a letter in here from a former town attorney sent to me that says, stay off there. Don't maintain it. That belongs to us. We control it. Okay?
I see where you're getting to.
Okay. So I refused that letter. I went out and continued to maintain. On occasion, a former supervisor showed up and said, stop doing that, and called the police on me. The police showed up. I showed him my documents. The police looked at our former supervisor and said, do you have a deed for this property? And the supervisor said, no. And he said, I'd appreciate it if you didn't bother us again. And that was the last time police were involved in the situation. And that was about 2011. But I'm not trying to undermine anybody. In 2000, when, as a little kid, I went and visited my grandparents in the early 70s who lived in the White House that's fallen apart there. The brick house next door was a rental property that my aunt rented from a man by the name of Lyle Hayden who lived across the street. In the back of that home was an outhouse that I used as a little kid and was located on cemetery property.
If you could get to to what point you're trying to make, though. I mean, is the point you're trying to make that you want to be able to maintain that cemetery?
I did the research, found out how it arrived where it is. I contacted the descendants of the churches that had failed that owned that cemetery, passed the real property on to the other churches that came along.
Are there any?
There is one that's still around.
One viable church.
I'm holding a letter in my hand, which I'll give you a copy of, okay, saying, we believe that cemetery is privately owned. We believe that it was owned by our predecessors. Mm-hmm. We have no interest in it. We would like to convey our interest to Mr. Birch, who has maintained it in a well manner. And that's the document that I have in my hand.
Okay. What you ought to do is, you got copies for our town attorney that
he
could look at?
What I want to do is, I've got copies of about 15 documents that nobody but other than Mr. Rode or Mr. Koudarakis from the town has ever seen. And I want to make them available for the town for the first time. And how I got them was, when I contacted Albany, the cemetery people, mm-hmm, they said, Fred, what you're looking for exists in two books in New York State. Mm-hmm. There's a copy here in Albany, and there's a copy here near
so
Buffalo.
You got copies of that?
I arrived there and I got copies
okay.
of it. Got the.
So what you're looking to do, you're looking to, see, you're looking to not have a problem with the town. You're looking to take care of the cemetery.
And what I would like to, I'm looking for, this property is 1/11th of an acre.
Yeah.
On the town record, it's listed as an assessment of less than $700.
Okay.
At one point in time, Mr. Garassi, your significant other, Mrs. Engels, resided in the house that I lived in the late 70s. And I know you drove by there and you saw the old gazebo that used to be there that I tore
right,
down.
Hold on, Fred.
What does that have to do with you wanting control?
Tell us what you want, Fred.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is who's ever resided in that house since John Halstead, built it.
Right.
Well, up until Becky
but
and Kevin.
Just tell us what you want.
He got,
is recreated and used in a capacity that I have.
Okay.
But I would like to be the caretaker of that, and I would like to get a covenant signed that if in the future.
Well, we're not going to. I don't think that we would sign anything because we wouldn't have any interest in it.
In other words, Bob, what I'm interested in doing is a quick claim deed. And I'm interested in not having a huge battle with this town.
Okay, this is what you need to do. Supply all the documents that you have to Mr. Rivzig.
Okay.
Let him look them over.
Okay.
Once he looks them over, we'll have a conversation with him, see if there's any problem with that. If we don't have any interest in that, then we don't have any interest in it, so you wouldn't have a problem with us. As far as your deed and things, I don't know. That's have to be something that
I
have to.
Thank you for that. I care about it. I have an interest.
No,
in
I
it.
Understand, but
it's something I've not in a sacrilege, but as a little kid.
I get you. So,
but listen, the town doesn't care who takes care of the property. You just told us we don't own them. We just help maintain them because they're abandoned. So just maintain it.
Well, why don't we let Mr. Rivzigno take a look at the documents he has before we
I would tell him to do anything.
He's been maintaining it. We all know you got to live in a cave not to know about.
I would appreciate
so Fred,
that.
Fred, hold on.
And an
hold
opportunity.
On. Fred, let me talk. So he's been maintaining. We're not doing anything off the record that nobody knows. He's just asking that you don't want the highway guys. They're mowing.
It's
a yes or no.
Well,
yes.
I don't think the town should be spending any monies on that property, giving that.
So your answer is no.
Categorized.
So your answer is no.
I don't have an issue with the highway guys.
So,
I have an issue with our
Fred,
town going.
Fred,
there.
So just maintain it. Just cut the grass. There's not much left there. A couple stones. We don't even know if there's people there.
How do we know that we don't have any interest in it without looking at the documents?
Do we own the property?
I wouldn't know that unless I looked at the document and actually had Mr. Rivzigno look at the documents.
I want to help the town and I want to help.
Problem.
Mr. Resnick, no, but I don't want to get a call at the 11th hour. I would like to be involved with any questioning or if you want to come.
Fred, it's a simple thing. You provide the documents to Mr. Rivasigno. He's going to look at them. If we don't have any interest in it, then you won't have a problem with the town. Okay?
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. So, do you have copies for him?
I'm going to meet with the clerk when the meeting's over.
Okay.
She told me she would make copies.
Of your stuff?
No, not for me. Okay. Because I have all the originals.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
If that's okay. Because I got quite a few documents.
Fair enough.
Part of that, Tony, is a $750 abstract that I paid for out of my pocket. Okay? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. That's all we have?
I have just one other.
Oh, okay.
Just a piece of information.
Yeah.
There was a recent bond sale up in Hastings, just to give you an idea what the money's going for. It was a $2,800,000 bond. It went for 4.079%. Years ago.
Yeah.
Many years ago, it was 2%.
We got our most.
Didn't the last bond Hastings do was like 1.75?
Yeah.
Like even less than 2%.
Well, the one we got was less than 2%. I know that. When we redid the lighting.
Yeah.
And there was five other banks that bid on it.
What's their bond rating out there? They have a good bond rating?
Yeah.
Do they?
That's what the money's going for.
Oh, yeah.
Cost of doing business.
Just to let you know.
I was going to say, I think that's actually a pretty good rating because I've seen other postings that were up to 4.75.
Okay. All right.
The lowest amongst the others were up 4 or 5. And stuff.
Yeah.
All right. If there's nothing else, we'll call the work session.
Lenny Kramer, you're right.
Okay. Call the work session closed at 6:07.